6:30, I'd like to call to order the meeting of the Board of Directors, Greater Austin Area Telecommunications Network, for the January 11th, 2022 board meeting. Agenda item number one is a roll call. Management, can you please lead us through that?
Yes, I'm Sarah Eichelberger, and I'll call the roll. We have Anthony Breckenridge, City of Austin.
Present.
Dane Herbat, Travis County.
Present.
Gary Wiesman, Austin Community College.
Present.
Jaime Guerra, UT.
Present.
Harold Nall, UT.
Present.
Robert Sadler, LCRA.
Present.
And Steve Pyle, State of Texas DIR.
Present.
And members of the public, we have Doug Wilson with JC Communications.
Present.
We have Chris Gonzalez with BRICOM.
Present.
And I think we have Wayne Wiedemeyer.
Present.
And John Colemorgan with Austin ISD just joined us. John, we're calling the roll right now.
Present.
And I forgot my coworker Carlos DeMatos with Gatton.
Present.
We have a quorum. Oh, and I'm sorry, Sid Falk, Bickerstaff, Heath, Delgado Acosta, they're on site.
Yep.
All right, we have a quorum.
Okay, thanks, Sarah. Agenda item number two is citizen communications. Do we have anything today?
No, no sir.
No, sir.
Okay, thank you. And moving on to agenda item number three. Review and approve the minutes from the board meeting from December 7th of 2021 in your packet. Sure, thank you.
This is Gary Wiesman. Motion to approve the minutes as presented.
This is Jaime. I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve the minutes as presented. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, management, can you please lead us to a vote?
Dane Herbat.
Aye.
Gary Wiesman.
Aye.
Steve Pyle.
Aye.
Anthony Breckenridge.
Aye.
Jaime Guerra.
Aye.
John Colemorgan.
Aye.
And Robert Sadler.
Aye.
The motion is approved.
Okay, great. Moving on to agenda item number four, which is the consent agenda. The board will entertain a motion.
This is Jaime. I'd like to move we approve agenda item number four, the consent agenda.
This is Gary, second.
We have a motion and a second to approve the consent agenda items. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, management, can you please lead us through another vote?
Dane Herbat.
Aye.
Gary Wiesman.
Aye.
Steve Pyle.
Aye.
Anthony Breckenridge.
Aye.
Jaime Guerra.
Aye.
John Colemorgan.
Aye.
And Robert Sadler.
Aye.
The motion is approved.
Right, moving on to agenda item number 5, that's the board chairperson update. 5A is seeking approval for the FY23 Gatton budget. If you'll remember, we discussed this last month, and we gave all the members a chance to go back to their respective entities and their finance people and have that initial conversation. Is there any discussion before we get into any kind of a vote? Does anybody need to see the budget, the proposed budget again?
Carlos, can you pull that up?
Yes. That's 4A. It's 5A, I'm sorry.
5A, yeah.
Here.
Thank you.
Sorry about that.
Any questions or comments? Okay, this is Dana Herbat with Travis County. Motion to approve the proposed FY23 budget as presented.
This is Steve, I second.
Questions or comments before we throw it to a vote? Okay, hearing none. Sarah?
Dane Herbat?
Aye.
Gary Wiesman?
Aye.
Steve Pyle?
Aye.
Anthony Breckenridge?
Aye.
Jaime Guerra?
Aye.
John Colmorgan?
Aye.
And Robert Sadler?
Aye.
The budget is approved. I do see that Ruben Reyes with City of Austin just joined the meeting.
Thank you, Sarah.
And okay, Ruben, I'm sorry. I was going to let him know that we just approved the FY23 budget.
Got that. Thank you.
Sarah, you might note the time that you joined.
Joined at 1:37 p.m.
Okay, agenda item number 5B, seeking approval for FY22 fund balance transfer, recoveries allocation, and budget line item adjustment.
As is typical each fiscal year, management has identified some budget categories for the current fiscal year that need to be supplemented, mostly due to unforeseen cost increases since the budget was approved in the prior year. So management met with the fiscal agent last week to discuss this request, and we're on the same page. To date, Gatton has received $197,644 in recoveries for damage claims and project reimbursements. Management is requesting approval to reallocate $191,000 of those recoveries to supplement operational budget line items as shown here. The largest operational budget line item being increased is the locates for two reasons. One is because an FY21 invoice was paid in FY22, so there will be 13 monthly invoices paid in FY22 instead of 12. And, you know, as we all know, there's an increased volume of tickets due to construction and notably road construction. So for the MAC budget, the board previously approved $727,000 in fund balance transfers to cover the projects approved in FY20 to FY21, and you can see that in the table below the projects, the date they were approved, and the amount approved to transfer. In FY21, $282,415 of that was used, so that left a remaining $444,585 that was previously approved to be transferred from the fund balance to supplement those projects, but has not actually been used yet. So management is requesting approval to transfer the remaining amount that was previously approved, the $444,585, to supplement the FY22 MAC POs. Many of the projects that are going to be complete in FY22 were approved in previous fiscal years, such as the A1 North upgrade projects. To recap, management is seeking approval to reallocate $191,000 in recoveries to supplement operational line items as proposed, and seeking approval to transfer $444,585 from the Gatton fund balance as previously approved to supplement the FY22 MAC budget. And you could see on the table, you know, we've got the FY22 adjusted column, the amount that those are going to be increased by, and the fund that those increases will be coming out of. And so you see it down at the bottom in the blue, that's the MAC budget that will be coming out of the fund balance. The remaining operational items will come out of the recoveries.
Sarah, this is Jaime. What is recoveries exactly?
It's, you know, damage claim reimbursements, project reimbursements, like from TxDOT, from entities where we do TxDOT projects and entities reimburse us.
Hey, Sarah, this is Gary. The only questions I have is the Bentley management, what caused the increase there? And then I think I kind of know insurance, but what changed in the insurance?
Well, okay, so for the Bentley, you know, they're doing splice case audits. They still have two splice case audits from last year that they're working on. And so we foresee that that's going to be a significant amount. You know, they're doing it on an hourly basis. Also, we had that tie cable true up in Bentley, and they're still working on getting all that into Bentley. So it's more drafting than we typically see this year because we had that true up and because we have two splice case audits that they're working on. This next year, there's only going to be one splice case audit. So it's, and I believe that we did up that budget for the FY23 fiscal year as well.
Okay, to account for that.
Yeah, and so for the insurance, you know, we've recently had a claim for the legal fees to defend Gatton against the lawsuit that was filed against us. And those legal fees just got paid, you know, after months of going back and forth with them. And so that was $18,600, I think, that we recovered, but I foresee that that is going to make the insurance for the D&O, the liability, to increase. And, you know, they're working on getting my proposals right now, or my renewal request. And I don't know how much it's going to be, but I don't want to have to come back again next month.
Yeah. Sounds good. I just wanted to check.
Yeah.
Hey, Sarah, this is Dane. Okay. Looks like we got hammered by locate services this year. Do we anticipate that to continue being high going forward?
We really did get hammered to where it was, you know, close to $25,000 a month over the summertime. That has since tapered off to where it's, you know, closer to $19,000-$20,000 a month. You know, but as I also previously mentioned, we did pay an invoice from last fiscal year in this fiscal year. So we are going to most likely end up paying 13 invoices instead of 12. And so that's also, you know, accounting for that increase. Let me point out one other of the increases, and that's the maintenance and NOC utilities. We are increasing that by $5,000 to issue a PO to the Austin Convention Center to pay for the utilities, the electric for the Gatton backup NOC. You know, that was spelled out in the ILA that Gatton will pay those utilities, and that is what that $5,000 increase in maintenance slash NOC utilities is for. Any other questions?
Do we want to take a stab at the motion?
This is Jaime. I'd like to motion approval of the fiscal year 22 fund balance transfer as presented.
I'm sorry, can you include the recoveries reallocation in that motion as well?
Yes, let me revise. So my motion is seeking approval for the fiscal year 22 fund balance transfer, recoveries allocation, and budget line item adjustments as presented.
Thank you.
This is Steve, I second.
Okay, we have a motion for what Jaime just said and a second. So is there any further discussion? Hearing none, management, can you please lead us through a vote?
Dane Herbat.
Aye.
Gary Wiesman.
Aye.
Steve Pyle.
Aye.
Ruben Reyes.
Aye.
Jaime Guerra.
Aye.
John Colmorgan.
Aye.
And Robert Sadler.
Aye.
The motion is approved.
Okay, and kudos to management and legal for getting that much recovery back. That's a significant amount. Moving on in the agenda, item number 5C, Network Manager Spending Authority.
Yes, so in November at the technical subcommittee meeting, it was requested that this agenda item be added to a board meeting to review the Network Manager Spending Authority as designated in the Gatton Maintenance Policy. As you can see, the maintenance policy states that the manager has the authority to spend up to $25,000 for routine maintenance items. This item was brought up in the course of discussing purchasing stock reels of fiber. Currently, for reference, one 10,000-foot reel of 192-count fiber is $18,900, and a 20,000-foot reel is $37,800.
This is Dane. I believe that I was the one that requested this item. We wanted to make sure that the network manager had the ability to go out and purchase fiber in an emergency fashion under their spending authority. Having said that, I don't remember, Gary, maybe you can help me remember, was the target that he could afford a 10,000 reel or 20,000 foot reel under his spending authority? And what did the cost of a 20,000 foot reel, what did it used to be?
It used to be $29,600 before the cost increase.
That was for a 20,000 foot reel, right?
Yeah, that was the old price.
So the cost of a 10,000 foot reel is still well within the spending authority. Is there any desire from the board to discuss raising that to perhaps cover a 20,000 foot reel, or do we think that we're covered for the time being at 25K? It does sound like fiber's gone up around between 35% and 40%.
There is another price increase schedule for late March, early April. This is Carlos, by the way.
Hey, Carlos, this is Ruben. What's that price increase looking like?
To tell you the truth, Ruben, we don't know that yet. It really depends on what they say. Right now, I think we're paying $1.89 a foot, if I'm not mistaken. I see, you know, usually all of this is based on per foot cable. So, you know, 10,000 foot, 20,000 foot is the same cost per foot. So
3070. Okay. So what's our inventory right now? Do we have an updated inventory on how much cable is out there?
Yes, we do have an inventory. Well, we didn't bring it to. We usually bring it to the tech. We're in the process of getting two 20,000 foot reels, I believe, that will be used for projects due to the lack of fiber out there right now on the market.
Okay.
But our levels are correct at this point. So.
Okay. I mean, go ahead, Ruben.
No, I was just going to go back to the question Dana asked earlier, and that is, should we entertain the idea of upping the allowance here? And that's why I was asking those questions. So, you know, if we have plenty of inventory, then there might not be a need for that allowance increase. Otherwise, it's something that we certainly should consider for an ad hoc purchase. That's where I was coming from.
Fine. With the way the fiber is right now,
this is Steve. If the fiber is hard to get, doing it on an emergency notice, you're not going to get the fiber any quicker than if you need it that quick.
Sure.
But now, the spending authority now, you could get a 10,000-foot reel. And as long as you have that in stock, once you can go ahead and reorder that, if you have to pull that reel out, and at least order it at that time and not have to wait on it. In case of an emergency.
Sorry, Steve. I heard Gary speak, and then it sounded like you got cut off. I wasn't sure if you finished your thought there.
Basically, what I was saying is what Steve finished up there, is that, I mean, emergency purchase of fiber isn't going to really get us anywhere other than get us in the queue a couple weeks earlier than taking it to a board meeting.
Okay, well, I'm not hearing any overwhelming. Oh, I'm sorry, Ruben.
I'm sorry, Dean. I think you're going to pretty much say what I was going to say. It looks like, you know, obviously there's not a need to increase it at this point.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like, and we can certainly revisit this at any time if we feel like that situation has changed.
Yeah. What I would ask is that management take a look at the projects that I know that we just bought 40,000 feet of fiber, but will that be enough to carry us through the coming year? I mean, let's take a look, especially if there's another price increase coming down the pike. Bring back what you feel we would need to close out the year the coming year, and let's work on maybe getting that order in before the price goes up.
I agree with that, but we have a 40,000 coming that some probably around 30,000 of that has not been allocated yet. They will be allocated for projects themselves.
Okay.
So we can get more if you want. So.
Well, no. How many? Okay. If when you look at the projects that we want to work on for this coming year, or even the projects that are delayed due to waiting on approval from the city of Austin or Austin Electric, what is the footage to complete those projects, and do we want to look at getting our orders in now before the price increase?
Okay, we don't have an account of the footages for all those projects. Every project that we have approved so far has been the cable has been paid with the project, so it's been approved and the orders have been placed separately from the 40,000 that we previously had. So the 30,000 that I speak of, which is roughly about 30,000 that we're going to be using, we will be allocating as we go along for the projects that we will need to do. So we already accounted for what you're trying to do is get an order in. We could do that, but we have 30,000 that we have not allocated yet for projects that will be coming soon. So.
Okay, but what I'm trying to say is, do we have an idea of the projects for FY23, and I guess anything. Well, okay. What you're saying is FY22 projects, we've already placed our orders, correct?
Yes.
FY23 projects that have been quote unquote approved or in loop, have those been ordered?
No, sir. Not yet.
Well, let's figure out what they are and come back to the tech committee or the board and say, we're going to need this much fiber for that, and see if we can get our orders in before the price goes up. That's what I'm trying to say.
I understand. We've as a priority project list that was that we actually true up, let's say, in the last tech meeting. And based on that, we're going to be bringing some projects specifically for Super Ring South replacement for 192 strands. And we are going to do exactly what you ask, which is bring more than the 30,000 that we have allocated that we were going to use for that Super Ring South. Than that, and then we'll let you approve what you like and order any other fiber that you want before the price increase.
Okay.
All right.
So it sounds like, this is Jaime, we need to understand Super Ring South, how much of that 30,000 feet it could possibly use for us to.
We could technically burn all the 30,000 or more in the Super Ring South. However, it's not going to happen all at once. And fiber may come down eventually, but you're absolutely right. We don't know that. I will be separating those projects, not so much having the contractors give us pricing for all of them, because that's going to be difficult to do in the next, month or so. But we are going to get at least the footages that need to be used for those segments that we're going to do, and we can decide whether or not we want to buy the fiber previously and then allocate it to the contractors, which is something that they will not have to bid on. So.
Okay.
Okay.
This is Jaime. I have another question on this document we're looking at.
Yes, sir.
It says it was last revised July 2020. Do we know if we had increased the spending authority at that time?
I do not believe that we did. Sarah.
I don't believe we did.
No. What we did in 2020 was just to take out it specified 40,000 feet of 114 count. So that's what we were revising it to say, the standard count ring fiber cable in bullet number one. We didn't update the amount of the spending authority.
Okay. And along that same line of questioning, did we update the spending authority at the revision for February 2010?
I couldn't tell you that. I can look back in the old files and see, when that was. But, Frank would be able to speak better to that. That's something we could bring back to you at a future meeting.
Okay. Yeah, more of a curiosity. I mean, it seems like 25,000 should be okay, but I'd be curious to, I wonder if we would think the same way if we were to understand that we hadn't changed the spending authority in the past 20 years,
I do remember at least one time that we increased the spending authority.
Yeah, I think at one time it was at 20 and it bumped up to 25.
Just want to make sure we're keeping up with inflation and all that.
I mean, basically, this is for the most part, to cover emergency repairs and, similar issues. Have there been any emergency repairs that have approached the 25,000 or?
We have had a couple that we have them into the or pay the contractor some of the items later on. It's right at the edge, if you know what I mean. But 25,000 has been in the high end of some of the repairs that we have had.
I think the only one we've had was that one for C1 North Rutherford. That was the tear down over the highway. That's the only one I could think of in recent history that went over the 25,000 for the emergency repair. So I just found the maintenance procedure from 2001, and that was 20,000. And then I found the one from 2012, and it was 25,000. So it has been at the $25,000 level since at least 2012.
So it looks like we've gone up about $5,000 every 10 years.
That appears to be the trend.
But what I would say is, you know, providing information showing that, you know, emergency teardown response, you know, what the average cost of that is, what the high is, what, you know, information.
Lost you again, Gary.
And he had a really good point to make.
The one that we speak of, any highway crossing, it's $20,000 these days. So any highway crossing will the repair is going to cost more than $25,000. That's, but they don't have, well, they do happen, but and you know, it is what it is. So we can still work with it anyway. So.
I may, are you considering a motion?
I mean, I don't know. It just occurred to me that it might be worthwhile to raise it, but I don't know if it's worth getting waiting and getting Frank's input on this, but I mean, it couldn't hurt to increase it to 30.
This is John. I think everybody needs to be mindful that POs are issued typically at the beginning of the year, so in essence, they have a blanket PO issued to all the contractors that we do business with on a regular basis. So, you know, we could basically spend up to that PO amount on it at any given point in time.
But does this policy not kind of limit Network's management ability to spend more than $25,000 against that PO without the board's approval?
If the PO is there at $180,000 or $780,000, I think the contractor pretty much has a guaranteed payment.
Right. So legally, we could pay the contractor to do that much work, but from our
or practical, authorize. It's not right. Like we pay. It's not like we write a check that day. I mean, Frank doesn't write a check, right?
Right. But Frank, Carlos, or Sarah would have to come to the board to get approval. I mean, I guess, wouldn't they still have to get board approval to spend $100,000 on a previously approved contract, PO?
I think we're getting into dotting I's and crossing T's.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe it's worth more thinking about it some more.
Not a problem.
So no motion for me at this time.
Okay, again, this can be revisited at any time. I do think some strong arguments have been made regarding inflation and the cost of fiber going up and the fact that it's been increased once in 22 years. So I think that there is an argument to be made to increase it, but maybe let's see if there's some data that can back that up so that the board can feel more comfortable about that. Okay, moving on. Item number 5D, Gatton Disaster Recovery Plan. I asked for this one.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Well, yeah, this agenda item was requested by the board chair, and the most recent DR plan is included on the handouts. Go ahead.
Is this more appropriate for executive session?
It is.
Okay. Legal is advising that this does go to executive session.
Okay.
Why don't we go ahead and skip over this one?
The Gatton winter preparedness, sir?
Yes, sir.
So,
for this one as well, due to the winter storm that we had last year, which I think that we fared pretty well as an entity, as an organization, I think that we did have some damage, but I just wanted to ask the Gatton management and our contractors what lessons were learned from last year and what additional preparations have been in place to prepare for the next one of those.
We did held a meeting with our contractors, and they're prepared to speak today about any preparednesses they have. As you said, we fared well last year during that the winter storm. You know, however, if this were to happen again, we may not fair as well. However, they are prepared to respond within reason. You know, remember those in Austin that in February, you know, we had about 6 to 8 inches of snow and freezing temperatures were in the freezing mark for the better part of a week and the cold side as well. So sometimes we have to make decisions as far as when to send them out and when not to send them out because everybody drives large vehicles and even though they carry liability, it is, you know, it is important that we keep that mindful. I'll let any of the contractors speak up now if they have anything.
Well, this is Chris with Bricom. You know, fortunately last year's storm event, you know, we were able to plan and prepare. We knew the storm was coming, you know, but so but that being said, some of our preparation, you know, we do have a rotating on-call procedures, and once we knew this storm was coming and the potential impacts it had, we pretty much put all our staff on call for the duration of the storm. So we had our manpower covered, but also our equipment, our warehouse, we were able to fit, I believe, 6 to 8 trucks. So we ended up pulling all our utility vehicles inside a warehouse so they wouldn't be iced over and hydraulics would work properly once we were able to mobilize them. We also went out to our distributor and stocked up on splice enclosures, you know, splice and consumables, some other materials that were needed. You know, the normal procedures for us, I mean, we make sure all our vehicles are fueled up, maintained, operational, especially before the weekends, you know, because we have emergency calls on the weekends as well. We even had cable loaded, you know, getting reels identified, loaded, ready to go, ready to mobilize just in case the event of we had some outages. Yeah.
Okay, did you have any issues with fuel freezing last year?
I'm sorry, what was that?
Do you have any issues with fuel freezing last year?
No, we did not. And that's probably one of the reasons we kept our trucks indoors inside the warehouse to avoid that. But we didn't have any issues like that freezing.
I guess the issue with the winter storm and fuel would be the gas pumps don't work because they don't have power.
Yeah, correct. And within that storm was coming, I believe it was on Valentine's, which landed on a Sunday. So that Friday before, we made sure all our vehicles were fueled up. We had extra fuel containers loaded, some generators on our utility trucks. So I believe we were able to get back. Our trucks, they can probably run for 2.5 days straight. On a fuel tank, they carry quite a bit of fuel, diesel on them. So,
Chris, I got a question.
Are there power trims on your trucks for icy conditions?
I'm sorry, what was that?
Do y'all maintain tire chains on your trucks for icy conditions? I know that's not typically used here in Texas, but do y'all have them? Do y'all need them?
No. We don't have change for our tires. This is really the first time we've had this type of incident where we probably could have used them. Historically, we've never needed them. Majority of our trucks are four-wheel drive, so we're able to manage.
Chris, I've got a question for you. If your warehouse is north of town and you had to respond to a major incident, you know, far south in town, would there be an advantage to having reels of cable stored on the other side of town, south of the river?
I don't believe so, because all our splicing equipment, all our splicing units, splicing trailers, it's all housed, you know, north of town. Just storing fiber south of town would probably just delay the response time. At the end of the day, we have the, you know, personnel, all the equipment, everything's housed here up north. We do have an office in the San Antonio area, but you know, we don't stock or maintain any GAN inventory up there. Majority of it's up north here in Austin.
Okay, thanks.
Chris, did we suffer any teardowns during the winter storm last year?
No, we didn't. I'm sorry.
There was a branch that looked like it broke some lash wire and the cable was really low, but we just had to resecure it. There was no cable cuts or cable tears.
I mean, that's phenomenal. Any lessons learned?
Lessons learned, I know it. We had some, last year's storm, we know it was kind of difficult getting a hold of everybody. I think we would maybe help us, you know, if we know a storm of this magnitude is coming, maybe, you know, have some preparedness from the entities, you know, points of contact where we can call, you know, 24/7 during just that type of scenario. We do have our normal emergencies and after hours on the weekends, which, you know, entities do respond, but there's times that we can plan for this and know who's actually on call, who to reach out to. Because what typically happens, you know, we may get a notification from one of the entities that they're down between two locations, which could be jumping rings. You know, it could be, you know, 10, 15 miles long. So we'll call other entities to see if they have any outages, and that'll help us troubleshoot and help isolate the problem. That's the only thing I can see, maybe possibly lessons learned, you know, maybe some on-call personnel, points of contact prior to these, you know, hopefully these type of storms.
Okay, what about JC Communications?
Yes, sir. Basically follow the same policy procedure that BRICOM does. This is an event-driven business. Most of the events happen in emergencies. So we have 24/7 call out. Our trucks are four-wheel drive, all of them diesel. But we stay ready, everything. We have four crews on standby in any situation like that. Last year, when the storm did come through, we had several call outs that we were able to address. Luckily, we were able to get through. No issues there, but really when it came down to it, power was the ultimate decider in all those call-outs. That being, even if we got the entity back up, they still had no power, no backup power or anything. So that's just something we talked about the other day, Chris and myself and Frank, about power is the ultimate decider in that. Any other questions?
Yeah, we lost you there, Doug, unfortunately, somewhere in the middle.
I'm sorry.
Power was the ultimate decider.
Yes, and that's kind of where we ended with it.
Okay. Any other questions, comments from the board?
I'm sorry, Dave, it's Chris one more time. When we were speaking with Frank last week about this, you know, in the event, you know, I think we were pretty fortunate last year, but in an event, you know, there is a potential storm or some inclement weather coming, maybe it's a good idea to get some prioritization from the entities themselves. If, you know, say we have three rings that are open somewhere, what would be priority, you know, what rings would be priority, or how would they want to, you know, each ring be handled? I think that's maybe something that may help out in the future in case we do have another event.
Okay. One thing that I wanted to mention which I'm sure it's just a reminder, but Gatton is the backbone for the comm for public safety, most of public safety in the region. And so anything that we as a group and including our contractors can do, stay prepared and to stay connected so that those comms can continue, especially during emergencies, I believe is our duty. So just everybody keep that in mind as a reminder, and let's try to make sure that we keep this plant up and operating as best we can. And last year was a fantastic example that everything worked out pretty well. So kudos to everybody.
Something else I would want to ask or mention, I may have asked this before, but do our NOCs rely on any chilled water for cooling? Because as we remember in the winter storm, lots of pipes burst and it'd be very easy to use or lose chilled water and therefore cooling at our NOCs.
Nope.
Okay.
Well, I need to get Carlos out there and prop open the door.
I will.
Okay, thank you, everybody. Moving on in the agenda. Did you have something, Carlos?
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Okay, 5F, agreement between the City of Austin and Gatton for the maintenance of the Gatton backup knock.
Yes, during the December 14 technical meeting, we appointed a subcommittee that is scheduled to meet on January 24th to make recommendations based on what they have received as far as the paperwork being, you know, the frequency and the cost of every item for the maintenance of the new backup NOC. We expect to bring these recommendations back probably to the board meeting in February so that they can be approved. Does this being financial, that will have some kind of financial impact as well?
Okay, any questions, comments for Carlos? Okay, moving on then. 5G and 5H are both property damage claims. One is at J.D. Abrams Lone Star Paving. The other is on Stone Hollow Drive. Do we need executive session for either of those items?
I think for G.
Okay, so we will punt 5G along with 5D over to executive session. Let's go ahead and cover 5H, which is the property damage claim for damage to B1N on Stone Hollow Drive, 10/18/2021.
Yeah, since there was no identifiable responsible party and the damage for the emergency and permanent repairs exceeded the $50,000 deductible, you know, in compliance with Gatton's damage policy, management submitted the claim to Gatton's property insurance company. The total damage for both repairs is approximately $55,000. So management has submitted all that information and is in contact with the adjuster and expects to recover approximately $5,000 from this after the $50,000 deductible is applied. And you may recall this repair was just approved on the consent agenda of this meeting. And that's all I have.
Any questions on that claim? Hearing none, moving on to agenda item number 6, network managers update.
Yes, the Gatton backup NOC, let me put it up here. We had a small change on the schedule. We had to push all the splicing for 1 week. So this one will start in January 18th, the Super Ring South activation and migration. That's when we will move both of those rings into the new NOC. And then on the 25th, we'll be moving the Super Ring North. And on February 1st and 2nd, we'll be doing the activation of A2 North into that room. Reason being for this, we're still having some problems getting the electrical tray. There was an electrical tray that we needed to extend, which is not a regular item, and the parts have been hard to find. But it seems like it's on its way right now, and we are scheduled to have activation by.
Can you repeat that, Carlos? You're going to have activation by when?
By February the 2nd. Activation of the room completely. Having all four rings in there and being ready to go.
February 2nd. Okay. And is anybody else having audio issues where we're getting some things cut out, or is that just on my end?
I think it's across the board, Dane.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah, I've dropped a couple times too.
And I think the intervals are actually, we can probably time the intervals. Don't understand why, but.
Okay, management, 6B and C.
Let me see here. As far as the gun project status.
Any of that service impacting that we just mentioned that was on the calendar? Is there network impacting work going on those days?
All of that is network impacting. Super Ring North, Super Ring South, there'll be a cut in Super Ring North and Super Ring South and an A2 North. Those cuts will happen at the convention center. And those are rings that are already there. Okay. Our contractor will be contacting you for that as well. So, because that equipment needs to be moved to the new room. So
that's next week, right?
Yeah, it starts next week, sir. Yes. For Super Ring South, yes.
Thanks, sir.
Not a problem. During the project status sheet, we have those changes added to those GADN active projects, which are the same that you just saw. We did have a completed project, a new completed project, which is the temporary repair gunshot at 1202 East St. John Avenue. We can probably talk a little bit about this one during executive session as well. That was the temporary repair had to be done 5 days afterwards due to the situation on the ground. We didn't want to have any other problems there. So, and we also had the D1 North 3707 Goodwin. The heritage tree was relocated without incident. That was a non-impact completed project to D1 North. And the A1 North activation was done on the 8th of December, which had no issues at all. And it's now in the new room at the convention center. The only entity-specific project that we have is the B1 South as the new Blazers relief node insertion. Node replacement. Any questions on project status?
Carlos, we should have something for UT and C1 North coming up soon.
Yes, we spoke about that, but I haven't. I need to talk to Chris, or if you would like to send me anything related to that so that we can bring it for the next tech. Is that what you want?
It's been approved by the board. It just took us a while to get here. So Chris will fill you in on construction and splicing dates.
Okay. So we completely missed that project on this. Is that what you're telling me?
I believe so.
All right. Okay. I'll talk to Chris.
Because it was originally tied up. This is for our Pickle campus, and we were doing some rearrangements to B1 North and C1 North at the same time, where it was a single project. The B1 North arrangements completed, but we were still pending permits and other issues on the C1 North side. I think that's why it dropped off the tracker here.
I put in there. I thought that we needed to approve it. Our mistake. I'll take care of it, sir. Anything else on the project status report, gentlemen? Ladies?
Go ahead, Carlos, job budget report.
Okay, for the job budget report, we've got 35 jobs we're tracking, totaling $1.6 million. $736,000 or 13 jobs were approved in FY22. The remaining $837,000 worth of jobs were approved FY19 through FY21. And I am working with the City of Austin on the refund for the contingency. I think it's approximately $339,000 that Gatton will be getting back from the city. So I'm working on that process with them. And so far, as noted earlier, I haven't captured that last recovery we just received on Friday, but we have recovered $197,000 some odd dollars for project reimbursements and damage claims. And we are also expecting a check from TxDOT, I think about $43,000 for a project reimbursement from last year, the SH-130 Ross Road project, finally getting reimbursed for that. And that's all I have. Are there any questions?
Okay. Thank you, Sarah and Carlos. Moving on to agenda item number 7, which is executive session. The time is 2:26 p.m., and I'd like to adjourn to executive session under one or more of Texas Government Code Sections 551071, 072, 074, 076. And or one or more sections of 418175 through 418181. See you over on the other call. Thank you.
We can do damage.
Travis County.
Present.
Carlos DeMatos, Gatton.
Present.
Gary Wiesman, Austin Community College.
Present.
Jaime Guerra, UT. Jaime Guerra, UT. I'll come back to him. John Cole Morgan, Austin ISD.
Present.
Harold Knoll, UT.
Present.
Ruben Reyes, City of Austin.
Present.
Robert Sadler, LCRA.
Present.
Steve Pyle, State of Texas DIR.
Present.
And we'll try Jaime Guerra with UT. Jaime, are you there?
All right.
Having audio issues.
Audio issues. Okay. We'll move on. So the board discussed items 5D and 5G in executive session. There is no further action to be taken on those items at this time. Moving on to agenda item number 9, which is discussion and possible action regarding the financial report and current fiscal year budget issues.
This is John. Everybody should have the budget report ending November 30th in your handouts. Please take a look. If you have any questions, I'll be happy to try to answer them or get answers to those questions. Hearing none, I think we're probably good, Dane.
All righty. Moving on. Agenda item number 10, meeting and action item summary. Do we have any, did we capture anything, management?
Other than adding the Pickle Research Center for UT.
Having some pretty bad audio issues, Carlos.
Oh, I'm sorry. Am I out? Just adding. Okay, just adding the UT site to the Pickle campus to the project list. That's it.
Okay, anybody else have anything for management? Hearing none, agenda item number 11 is confirmed date, time, and location for the next board meeting. It's going to be February 8th, 2022, at 1:30 p.m. Here at the Service Center and also via video conference on Microsoft Teams. Thank you all. That was a little bit of a technically riddled board meeting, but we got through it. So thank you all very much, and we'll see you in February.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you, guys. Y'all have a good one.
You
We're adjourning at 2:55 p.m.